I want us to look at some things, at five areas in particular over the next few sessions, few days, I guess. And I think as we compare them, maybe we haven't compared before these things and seen what they mean. When you compare them with other things, and the Bible is always true. It's not, saying one thing in one place and the opposite in another for the same group of people at the same time. But let's look at what Paul's manner was from Acts 13 to Acts 19. And of these five things, the second would be, what are the Greeks? I mean, they're mentioned in a small portion of Scripture, but they're mentioned over and over in that part of Scripture. Who are the Greeks? What is that about? And thirdly, the sequence and order of the Gospel of God and the Gospel of Christ, two different titles of two different Gospels that God talks about, inspires Paul to write about and Luke to write about. Fourthly, what happened to the body of Christ when people believed the Gospel of Christ before the dispensation of the grace of God? What happened in the body of Christ at that time, before the dispensation of the grace of God that we're in now? And fifthly, we want to find out about what Habakkuk prophesied and called a work. I will work a work among you. All right. The way I understand the relevant scriptures, for a while after Paul preached the resurrected Messiah, preached about him and the need for him, when he was in Corinth, it was a mixed group that believed what Paul preached in the synagogues as a manner of his mode of operation, the way he did things, what he normally preached. And the Bible refers to that in Acts 17, verses 1 to 3. We'll look at verse 3. It says that he trying to think of the word, not debated. Let me look it up here. It's Acts 17, verse 2 is the one I'm looking for, I think. And it says, reasoned with them out of the scriptures. All right. So, that's not reasoning out of his opinions or out of his understanding, out of his mind. He's looking in the steadfast scriptures that God promised to preserve in its pure state forever. And what he says about that, how does he do that? Does he argue about it? No. Says he opens the Bible, and alleges, preaches, shows what it means, like in Nehemiah 8, verses 8 and 9 there. That's what the priest did for Israel back then. Paul opened and alleged that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, the resurrection. And that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. That doesn't, we hear those words all the time, Jesus Christ. We don't think of it the way they thought of it. They didn't, most of them at that time didn't know about Jesus, the Son of Mary. Jesus means Savior. Christ means Messiah. They knew that about a Messiah. They'd been looking for a Messiah. They'd been promised a king over a kingdom back in Exodus 19. And that's what they were counting on God to keep his promise. And here, this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ, is Messiah. Well, of those believing that Jesus is the resurrected Messiah, only some of them went on to believe the gospel of Christ, that Christ died for their sins, and thus were saved. They were saved by that. And they were part of a temporary mixed group the instant they were saved, they were part of the body of Christ, but they're in that church in Corinth, or that area of Corinth where they came from the synagogue in Corinth. They were part of a temporary group that was mixed, because there were some that did believe that Jesus was the resurrected Messiah, but they did not believe that this gospel was for them, that Christ died for their sins. They believed that Christ would blot out their sins when he returns again to reign on earth, that he would be the king of the kingdom they were going to be in. That was Israel's hope. And so there were two types of believers in that mixed group that came out of the synagogue and met with Paul in Corinth. Those who did not go on to believe that God was calling them by the gospel of Christ, they were also part of that same temporary group, mixed group, that was no longer welcome in the synagogue. The apostate synagogues had said that if you believe Jesus is the Messiah, you're expelled. You know, you can't do that. You'll be put out of the synagogue. So it cost those people to believe it. But those that were believing that Jesus is the resurrected Messiah, but believed that they were to be part of Israel still, they remained the circumcision. But they became the believing circumcision, not apostate. Not what Paul calls in Romans 2:25 the uncircumcision. Those that do not believe. These facts are actually is what it comes down to, those that he is the resurrected Messiah. So those two groups can be seen in 1 Corinthians 7, verses 17 to 20. Let's look at that. We'll read through those. If somebody would post those, that would help. If somebody can do it, I've got a verse list available, that text verse list I can shoot to you. But otherwise, just follow along if you can. DVD, good to see you. Glad you could come in. And hi, human being. We are going to go ahead with 1 Corinthians 7, verse 17 through 20. But as God hath distributed to every man, as the Lord hath called everyone, so let him walk. And so ordain I in all the church, in all churches. Verse 18, here's a crucial verse. Is any man called being circumcised? Let him not become uncircumcised. Is any called in uncircumcision? Let him not be circumcised. So you got two conditions of people there. People that were called in their circumcision, the Jews, and they were called to continue that. Don't try to be uncircumcised or part of the uncircumcision group. And those that were called in uncircumcision, called by the gospel of Christ, they're not to try and be Jews, not to be part of the circumcision. But they were meeting together because there was no place else to meet. They had all gotten expelled from the synagogue because they all believed that Jesus was the risen Messiah. So let's go on. 1 Corinthians 7:19. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing, but the keeping of the commandments of God. Now this was Acts 19, and Christ had already died and resurrected and gone back to heaven. Israel had fallen in Acts 7, and here we are at Acts 19, and Paul is about to write in Acts 20, he wrote that Christ is the end of the law for justification. Let me, it was right on the tip of my tongue. Let me just post it. We'll get it exactly. Oops, something happened here. There we go. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. There we go. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. Not to everybody, just to everyone that believeth. So there you've got circumcision is nothing, uncircumcision is nothing, but the keeping of the commandments of God. And those commandments, the end of the law for righteousness is when Christ came, for those who believe. Going on to verse 20, 1 Corinthians 7:20, let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. So there were some called by the gospel, Israel's gospel. There were some called by the gospel that was just had just recently been revealed to Paul, that you can be saved by believing that Christ died for your sins and was buried and rose again the third day. That's being saved by grace, God's grace, through faith, and it's not anything to do with works. Not our works. Christ did all the work on the cross. Now let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. God is faithful by whom you were called. Called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. So was Israel in fellowship with Christ? Sure. Was the body of Christ at that time in fellowship with Christ? Yep. So you often hear Paul calling circumcision people brethren, brothers, weak brothers. That's the weak brothers he's talking about. Ones that could fall from their stand. They haven't yet endured to the end. They have to keep the faith. They have to keep the commandments. Not for righteousness. Their trust in Christ is their righteousness. Trust that he is the Son of God, risen from the dead. They're not. They may believe that the gospel of Christ is true, but that it doesn't apply to them. Now, remember, we're just talking about between Acts 13 and Acts 19. Between the sending of Paul to the Jews and the Greeks there in Acts 13, until he was sent beyond them, and you stop hearing about the Jews and the Greeks, which would be Acts 19. So that's there's a lot of confusion about that time of transition, and we're trying to get what the Bible says about it. In 1 Corinthians 1:9, we read about God's call for those people to become part of the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, by believing the gospel of Christ, that Christ had commissioned Paul to preach during that time. That would be in the body of Christ. That call of God was being relayed by Paul. God was calling them, but Paul was the one telling them. You can see that in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 2. He says he's Paul, an apostle of Christ, and he says, unto, it's in other words, it's from Paul, and it's to the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. So there's a lot in that verse, but unto the church of God. And you recall, we went through that process. They were in the synagogue. Paul came and preached that Jesus is the risen Messiah. And there were two types of people that believed that message and had to leave the synagogue and meet in Paul's meeting there. There were some called in circumcision, some called in uncircumcision. Well, at that point, before Paul read to these people the gospel of Christ, they were all, in effect, in the same condition as the little flock. They were a church of God type of people. So he says, unto the church of God. It's to all those that came out, and the ones that, now they may have heard the gospel, they did hear the gospel by the time he wrote this letter, because in chapter 15, verse 1, he says, Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you. He told them that he had preached it unto them. They had believed it, and they were saved by it, he said. That's a gospel that transmits, I guess you could say, the power of God to save them. When they believe it, it saved them. To them, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus. Sanctified means set apart for a purpose. Usually in the Bible it's for a godly purpose, put it that way. And he says they're called to be saints. There it is. What we'd been talking about, what 1 Corinthians 7:17-20 that we read, what that was talking about, they're called. Some were called in circumcision, some in uncircumcision. With all that in every place, call. Now these are the believers calling upon the name of the Lord Jesus, Jesus Christ our Lord. And they're calling, when you call upon the name of Jesus Christ, what's the difference between that and calling on Jesus Christ? Well, the name of Jesus Christ is his identity. It's who he is. Well, who is he? He is the risen Messiah. That's the purpose of that gospel of God, to show the identity of Jesus, so that you could call upon his name, who he is, that he's the risen Messiah, the Christ. So, and he goes on, he closes that verse by saying, both calling upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours, their Lord and our Lord. Well, who's the they and who's our? Our would be Paul and the body of Christ, and theirs would be those believing Israelites that came out of the synagogue because they believed that Jesus was the Messiah and couldn't stay there anymore. And they met with Paul for edification, knowing that Paul was a Jew, had been a Jew, but now he didn't believe Israel's doctrine was for him and that he would be part of that earthly kingdom. He's not one of those 12 apostles that'll sit on the throne in Matthew 19, I think, verse 28, I think it is. He's not one of those. He is the singular, the apostle of the Gentiles, Romans 11:13. That means God made him an apostle. What's an apostle? A sent out one. God sent out Paul to us Gentiles with our information about how we can be saved. And that happened when he got saved. He got saved in Acts 9. Long after, about a year actually, after the crucifixion, resurrection, and going to heaven of Jesus. It was right after Israel fell, after their acceptable year of the Lord, when they rejected the Lord instead of receiving him. So the church of God that Paul refers to in that verse there that we read, that he's writing to those the church of God type people that came out of the synagogue, he refers to them in Galatians 1:13, and let's see what he says about them. For you have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. Well, this is one of the primary verses that shows us what the church of God is. It's those people that Paul went after and tried to put in jail, tried to get them stoned, like Stephen. People that believe, just like the 12 apostles, Lazarus, Mary, Martha, those in the Jerusalem church, Barnabas, Silas, Justice, that church there in Jerusalem that brought all their riches, everything they had, laid it at the apostles' feet for the beginning of the kingdom, but then Israel rejected their Messiah, blasphemed the Holy Ghost, fell from being God's chosen people, and had to come to God just like the rest of us do from then on, until Christ takes us up to heaven, the body of Christ, and leaves Israel in their 70th week, and that time clock, that prophecy time clock of Daniel starts ticking again. right where it left off after the end of the 69th week. Got 1 week to go, a week, 7 years of trouble for Jacob. So, Paul said in 1 Corinthians, where we read it, 1 Corinthians 7, verses 17 to 20, for each of them to obey God's individual call on their lives. That was because at that time, just at that time, just after the nation of Israel fell, God still called some individual Jews to continue waiting for their sins to be blotted out at Christ's return in the future, to reign in Israel, reign over the earth from Israel. While at the same time, God called others of them to believe Paul's gospel of Christ and be saved at the instant they believe, which is quite different, of course, from the way Israel nationally will be saved. These verses show what was believed by this new circumcision believers group, believing in the name of Jesus, that he was the Messiah, the Christ, Jesus Christ. And we'll look in Acts 3, 19 through 21. This is what they believed. Repent ye. This is Peter standing up at the Pentecost feast in the temple, or they just after it. I think it was at the same time, actually, as his Acts 2 sermon. He says, repent ye therefore. It's speaking to the same crowd. You know, Acts 2, 14 and Acts 2:22 and Acts 2:36 all say that Peter was talking to Israel, to Judah, to those in Jerusalem, to the Jews, not to us. He was aiming this message at those that God had chosen there. And he said, repent ye therefore and be converted. Now this was before Israel fell. Israel could have still, if the leaders and majority had believed that Jesus was the Messiah, Christ, look what it says about him. It says, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. When is that? And he shall send Jesus Christ, which was before preached unto you, and the heaven, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things. So the restitution of all things would have been when he comes back if they had believed. So repent, be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. That's when they get their salvation. They're saved from the condemnation of their sins. And the condemnation that's on them from being a descendant in a sinful world, a sinful race, ever since Adam sinned. So, talking about Jesus, that if they believe, God would send Jesus back, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. And you got to recognize there is a difference. There are some things that God had not spoken about. He spoke about a lot of things, the prophesied things, the promises, the covenants, but there were things he hadn't yet revealed that he only revealed after Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. When you get to Paul's belief, his salvation experience in Acts 9, Christ began revealing things to Paul for us that had not been revealed before in the Old Testament. You can't search it. You know, Paul's... the Bible says that these in... this would be Acts 17:11. These in... those talking about the Bereans, they were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they, the Bereans, searched the scriptures daily to see if the things that Paul preached were so. So Paul was preaching things out of the scripture. Well, that's what the gospel of God is. That's what the identity of Jesus is. It's that he's the Son of God, And you can find that throughout the Old Testament, that he was, God would send his son, and that he's the risen Messiah, risen from the dead, resurrected, that he's the Messiah that had been promised. So that's what they search the scriptures for, but there's some things that are unsearchable that you can't find in the scriptures. And those were the things, the hidden wisdom that Paul had revealed to him by Christ and preached to the Gentiles, I shouldn't say the Gentiles, because there were Jews and Gentiles that believed it, just like in Israel's church, before Paul was saved, there were Jews and Gentiles called Greeks. So they both churches had Jews and Gentiles in them. So it's kind of futile to call one church a Gentile church and the other a Jewish church. It's more clear, I think, to call one an earthly church, because that's what their hope is. That's what their future is, to be resurrected into a kingdom in the land, which includes that little strip of land that's called Israel today, but it goes all the way over to where that earthquake was, at the border of Iraq and Iran. It goes down to the Nile River in Egypt. That's a huge, huge area. Makes a triangle, goes up to near Turkey, I think just into Turkey, and that whole area is the land. It'll be from the area from where Christ will return and rule the world from there. But when he comes, it's at his coming, these verses are saying that's when Israel gets their salvation. And that's what Romans 11 verses 26, 27 say too. But let's look in Zechariah. We talked about the Old Testament. Here's one place the Old Testament prophesies. In that day there shall be a fountain opened to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. So that's when Christ returns, is when they will have their sins undone, blotted out, forgiven. Undone might not be a good word. I'm not sure I could find that in the scriptures, but they will be blotted out and forgiven by then. None of Paul's temporary mixed group there in Corinth were still apostate. They were not, none of them were apostate, since all Paul's temporary mixed group now believed the gospel of God. The facts about the name of Jesus, who Jesus is, that he's the resurrected Christ. That whole group, everybody that came out of the synagogue, permanently, I mean, not just at 3 o'clock in the afternoon or whatever came out. I'm talking about that they were expelled from the synagogue. None of them were apostate. They all believed the gospel of God, that who Jesus was, instead of rejecting him and speaking out against him. Let's look at some verses that show that gospel of God. The gospel of God is revealed by God to Paul. The way he wrote it down, this would be in Romans 1, verses 1 through 4. 1 through 4. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. Now, it doesn't use the word sent there or commission, but a separation unto the gospel of God is a similar type thing, isn't it? The gospel being something to be proclaimed. Blessed are those, the feet of those who bring glad tidings of the gospel of peace, I think is the way it goes. Anyway, let's read the verse. Verses 1 through 4 in Romans 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son. And here it is. Concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, or Messiah. Christ means Messiah in Hebrew. I didn't say that right. Christ is the Greek word. Messiah is the Hebrew word. Okay, for the same person. concerning his son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and that was the line that the Messiah would come through. Verse 4, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness. How? By the resurrection from the dead. He's the Son of God. So those three facts, that he's the Messiah, the Son of God, resurrected from the dead, are what Paul emphasizes here in Romans 1, 1-4, is the gospel of God. And it declares the identity of Jesus, the name of Jesus, who Jesus was when he walked the earth, who Jesus is. He did walk the earth, he went to heaven, he's still alive, and he is still the Son of God, the risen Messiah. Paul never preached the gospel of the kingdom to anyone. And we can know that by what the scripture says. Look in Galatians, the earliest book, I believe it's the earliest book that Paul, or letter that Paul wrote. Galatians 1:13, it was written before he made his statement in Romans 15:20, is it, I think, that he doesn't want to build on another man's foundation. And he wrote it before Acts 16, where the Spirit directed him away from the northern area. I forget the names of the areas up there, but actually it's northern Galatia. Galatia stretches north-south across that Asia Minor. But Galatians 1:13, I've got two verses that show that Paul didn't preach the gospel of the kingdom. Galatians 1:13, for you have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. So he was among the apostates. He thought he was straight line Orthodox Israelite. You know, well, Orthodox may not be the right word, because that has a current day meeting, but right down the line, everything that he should be, the strictest type of Pharisee. He says, but beyond measure I persecuted the church of God. So he was on the opposite side of things from the believing church of God there. Galatians 2:18. Galatians 2:18. Let me see this here. Yes, okay, good. Galatians 2:18. For if I build again the things which I destroyed. What did he destroy? He destroyed the church of God. That's what he was going after. If I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. So he didn't teach that little flock doctrine, the ones that he tried to destroy or started destroying. He says, if I build it again, I make myself a transgressor. He's not teaching that, in other words. The point is that some were saved. Some of Paul's temporary mixed group of Gospel of God believers, to whom Paul wrote in Corinth when he wrote 1 Corinthians, some of them were saved in the body of Christ, while some others of them were still under the circumcision gospel, because that's the way God called those individual Jews. Individuals, I should say. It's fair to believe that some of them were Greeks, that God had still been calling. Greeks had a very important job to do in that time period there in that area. But those that were still under the circumcision gospel, they were waiting to be saved when Christ returned to reign in Israel. Christ was still coming back. He is still going to come back. He is going to reign. All those promises are true. They're not broken just because the high priest and the council and the elders and scribes and the people all rejected Christ, spoke against the Holy Ghost's words out of the mouth of Stephen. Out of the mouth of Stephen. That would be in Acts 7. Acts 6, verse 8 through Acts 7. But that Acts 9 through 28 period is unique in that only there and in the epistles during that period, only there are there two sets of apostles, two gospels, two churches, two sets of doctrine in those churches, and two commissions. One was had been an earlier commission to Israel, and it was fading away as, well, the Bible word in Romans 11:12 is diminishing. It was diminishing, and it was totally cast away, blinded. Israel was blinded in Acts 28. They could not come back as God's special, the way God was working in the world at that time. He will work in the world again through Israel in the future after the church of, after the body of Christ, the church which is his body, is caught up to be with the Lord. Those promises will, they shifted from being an immediate promise if they had believed at that time the Lord would have brought in the kingdom. They shifted from that immediate kingdom to a long future, to a future kingdom. They didn't know it would be this long. And we don't know how much longer it'll be either. But it's in the future. We know it's sure because they were promises of God. But it's only during that time period there, starting in Acts 9, that you've got the lingering and diminishing of Israel up to Acts 28, but starting in Acts 9, going through 28 and till today, is the body of Christ, with Paul being the first saved into the body of Christ on the road to Damascus in Acts 9. Paul was not willing to confuse any of the believing little flock Jews or to try to steal Jews to fill up the body of Christ. Those Jews who had already heard the gospel of circumcision but were still deciding whether to believe that Jesus was the risen Messiah, they were still being called by God into Israel's little flock. Not today. Not after the casting away of Israel. Those few individual Jews that were still being called into the little flock, that all stopped at the latest in Acts 28 when Israel was cast away. And there was great desolation that followed, according to Isaiah 6, 9 through 12. Paul was, I was going to say anxious, but eager, eager to win apostate Jews that God was calling as part of the remnant according to the election of grace. Now that's different. That's not the ones called in circumcision. That's the ones called in uncircumcision. Some were Jews, some were Greeks during that time period before Paul was sent to all people. And it could have included some alien Gentiles that he wasn't sent to, but that heard the gospel and believed it. Okay? But Paul was eager to win these apostate Jews, and to, I guess win may not be the right word, to preach the gospel to them and have them get saved into the body of Christ. And that's the remnant. That's not a prophetic remnant. It's a remnant according to the choice of grace or the election of grace. He left those who were already part of the prophetic remnant, the little flock, to be discipled by Israel's 12 apostles. And you can read in 1 Peter. Peter is discipling them by letter. Possibly that's one of the places he went. It's likely when it says, I think it's in Acts 12, it says Peter went to another place. It's likely that that's where he went, up there, that area that in Acts 16, 8 through 10 or so, the Spirit forbade Paul, kept Paul from going up there to preach the gospel of Christ, because it would have overlapped ministries with Peter. It doesn't come out and say that, but it looks like that's probably what happened. Some of the prophetic remnant, Israel's remnant, were formerly apostate Jews. that only became prophetic remnant when they heard the gospel of God preached to them by Paul, that Jesus Christ, Jesus is Christ. He's the Christ and he's risen from the dead. But they were among those that had been called in circumcision that we read about earlier. Paul was now trying to save the believing remnant, little flock. I shouldn't say he was now. He was not. He was not trying to rob the little flock into the body of Christ. And that's where we get, in fact, Romans 15:20 is how we know that. It's probably the strongest statement about that. It says, "Yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation." So if Peter laid the foundation up there north of where they were traveling in Acts 16 and they were forbidden from going up there, Paul doesn't want to go up there, and he did at the time, but you know, he's in his whole ministry, this whole thing about 1 Corinthians 7:17-20 and those that are called in circumcision and those that are called in uncircumcision, he never goes across that line and preaches. Let's see what it says here. I strived to preach the gospel not where Christ was named. He never goes across that line where someone else, one of the 12 apostles, had been preaching the gospel of the kingdom. He doesn't go across there. And those little flockers that came out of the church in Corinth to meet in Paul's meeting, but they were called in circumcision, he preached the same thing. And they got to learn. Peter reflects that they preach the same thing. I don't have the verses in front of me. If you want to give me just a minute here, I'll see if I can find it. I got to get my text open here. Let's see. It's 1 Peter, 2 Peter. That would be in 2 Peter 1. There's two areas of it. I wish I had them pinned down so I could just read them to you. Let's start in 2 Peter 1:10. Wherefore, now this is Peter, a circumcision Israelite apostle of the kingdom of Israel, not the body of Christ preacher, not Paul's, not in Paul's group. Okay, they're both in Christ. It's just that only those that believe Paul's gospel are in the body of Christ. But here he says, this is 2 Peter 1:10, starting in verse 10, "Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election," what you were called in and what you chose, "sure," to make it sure. "For if you do these things, you shall never fall." He's talking to people that could still fall, remember. They're not saved yet. They get their sins blotted out when Christ returns. So you can see a difference in the doctrine. Now, it's not the Bible contradicting itself, because they're two different people groups. It's showing that they are different. 2 Peter 1:11, "For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore I will," this is verse 12, "I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things." Reminding them of their heritage, in other words, "that you know, though you know them, and be established." What are they established in? Are they established in those Israeli doctrines and traditions? They're established in the present truth. This is 2 Peter. He goes on in a few verses to, it would be the two chapters later, to say, listen to Paul. He's got the doctrine now. And I think that's what he's saying here. The present truth is what he realizes that Israel had fallen, and the present truth was Paul's doctrine, body of Christ doctrine. believe that Christ died for your sins and that he rose for your justification, rose the third day, and you'll be saved. Not waiting for Christ to return before you get saved. You're saved upon belief. So that's the present truth. And he's saying he's going to remind them of the old ways. I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, this tent, this body, in other words, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that I must shortly put off this, my tabernacle, as the Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. Remember from where they came, even though they're in the present truth. The truth at that time was Paul's doctrine. So, I think Peter knew about it, and he pointed to Paul in his writings. And let's go back. Let me get this. So, but Paul never violated that attempt. Romans 15 verse 20, that he strived to preach the gospel not where Christ was named, not where they had already heard from some other preacher, Apollos or Peter, James, whoever. Well, James had been killed by the sword in Acts 12, but James, the brother of Jesus, had become a believer and was heading up. I shouldn't say heading up. We don't know that. He spoke. He might have been one of the first. He must have been one of the first to speak out and had inside knowledge on things. He met with Paul in Acts 2, 1 to 10. Verse 9, he's named. But Paul's manner in Acts 13, verse 4, through the just before he was sent to all people, through Acts 20, verse 5, we're going to look at that.